the Click Magnet Dating Podcast, where experts dial in to discuss dating mastery, both online and off.
Hey guys, Scott Valdez here, and you're listening to the Click Magnet Dating Podcast by Virtual Dating Assistants. Today, I'm happy to have Neil Ward on the line. He is the top dating coach in the UK, and he's got a ton of personal experience in online and face-to-face coaching. He's actually started the Top Dating Coach company in 2008, but he's been coaching since 2005 or 2006, and he's got a variety of techniques that really set him apart from some of the other coaches, and we'll talk about some of that today, and it's really helped to bring him a lot of success with his clients. We'll be talking about his methods, and we're going to cover some tips on online dating specifically and really how to kick ass on the first date. So, Neil, I really appreciate you taking the time to join us today.
Hey, Scott, you're most welcome.
So, you know, you've obviously got a pretty long background in the date coaching area, but I know you weren't born a date coach, so why don't you tell us just a little bit about your background and kind of how you decided to get this area of your life handled and your evolution towards becoming a dating coach?
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, I started the company back in about 2008 officially, and a couple of years before that, 2005, 2006, I was sort of playing around with it, sort of teaching off the record, you know, as you do when you're sort of learning this stuff, trying to get some experience. But really, it all started for me when I was about 19 years old, so 8 years ago now. And I just got to that point in my life where I was like, this, my life sucks. No friends, definitely no girls. You know, well, I had one good friend. And, you know, we used to go out all the time, try and meet women. I had about 3 different online dating profiles. They were going for months and months at a time. No messages. I think I got one message in 4 months. It was just crazy. So I got to a point and I was like, okay, now's the time to do something about it. So I just went on a crazy journey where, I don't know, 12 to 18 hours a day sometimes. I was just studying every piece of material I could get my hands on, both online dating and offline dating. Studying psychology, body language, all the dating books. You know, the list just went on. I started to get pretty good, get some experience, and I started to really just teach some guys, friends of mine, what I was learning. And at that time, I had no idea that it would turn into such a huge business now around the world. And then, as I was saying, back in 2008, 4 years ago, I started Top Dating Coach, which is now in 4 different locations around the world, 2 of which are in the US, actually, on the East Coast and the West Coast. So that's really how I got started. That's my story.
I didn't realize you're such a youngin. You're 27?
Yeah.
Wow, you're a baby. I'm kidding. We're the same age, but I always get that from people that hear that I have a business. Oh, you're a baby. Thanks. So, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, just some of your methods. From a really basic standpoint, how would you say kind of some of what you teach as, you know, as a dating coach and as a company differs from what some of the other guys are teaching?
Yeah, I mean, this is really my main selling point, is that what I teach is so unique. I haven't yet seen any of the other companies or coaches teaching this. Because what you get on the market is people that teach external technique. That seems to be the bulk of it. It's teaching technique, conversational skills, all of this sort of stuff. Whereas mine is the opposite. Mine is about 80% on your inner game. It's really about changing your beliefs and mindsets. And we were talking about this before, but I do a hell of a lot of NLP in my coaching style, and a lot of life coaching comes in as well. And really how the NLP comes in is, I don't know if you've ever heard of Maxwell Maltz, who wrote the book Psycho-Cybernetics. Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, actually I have heard of it. I think, I don't remember who told me about it, but I haven't read it. It might be on my Amazon list, but I have not gotten around to it yet. Why don't you tell us about it?
I'd certainly recommend all your guys read that, because it tells you a lot about your actual self-image and why you are the way you are. And I've taught this to a lot of guys, and one of my main clients, a guy called Josh, he lost half his body weight in just a few months. What we did was we changed his self-image. So let me tell you a little bit about that and how it works. So your self-image comes from your beliefs, and your beliefs then affect your expectations. your expectations affect your attitudes and, you know, just how you are in life. And your attitude then affects your actions. And, of course, all of your actions create your results. I don't know if you've ever heard the saying that if you do, you carry on doing things the way you've always done it, you'll get the things, you know, you've always got. So once you change that, you get different results. And that's how it changes your self-image. Because when you're getting new results, your self-image changes. And that's really one of the foundational blocks of NLP. And we also use a lot of language patterns and linguistics, as it's called. And the linguistics is so, so powerful. Because when I'm sat with a guy and he's telling me about what his setbacks are, just from him talking, I'm listening for certain key words in his language, and that tells me his real beliefs, because we have your conscious mind and we have your subconscious mind. And a lot of people think they're in control of what they're doing, but actually we're not in control, because if you were to think about every single piece of information you're doing each day, like driving the car, do you look down at the, well, you don't have a gear stick in the US, but in the UK we have a gear stick, like a manual. If you were to look down at your stick every time you're changing gear, then that would just be crazy. All these things are automatic, and it comes from the subconscious. And when the guys are talking to me, I'm listening for these key words like, you know, oh, I just can't do this, and that's a big one. I can't do it. I tried this. It doesn't work. You know, try is another big key word. I'm constantly listening for words and their language, and it tells me a lot about what's really driving their beliefs. And once I can get in and start to really change those beliefs, the guys just have such a massive breakthrough. And one other point on this is where my method really differs, is anxiety is one of the biggest problems that guys have, not just in dating life, but in all life. Whenever anxiety shows up, that's actually not a real reflection of the world. That's just a reflection of a false belief in your subconscious. So say, for example, you see an attractive woman, or there's an attractive woman online that you really want to message, and you start to feel anxiety. Well, that anxiety isn't actually true. It's usually related to a memory from your past. And the guys at home can look at this after the interview. Maybe just write this down on a notepad or something now. Think back to a past event where you've suffered some form of rejection. It's usually as a child under the age of about 10 years old. And when you look at that and you say, what actually happened there? For example, you could have gone up to a girl at school and said, hey, you know, you're really pretty. Do you want to have a drink, or, you know, something like that? And she like says, no, you loser, get lost. It seems crazy, Scott, but little things like this, they actually influence our entire life and how we go through life. Because the subconscious puts like a barrier over that thing that happens, and it gives you a new way, it gives you a new path in life so that you don't suffer that sort of rejection or pain again. It's crazy.
One of the things, you know, that really, for me, you know, is a tough point for a lot of guys is just confidence in general, and obviously that ties into anxiety. And confidence is obviously a big part of what you teach, as it is one of the most important things that guys that want to work on their inner game are really concerned about is their confidence levels. So can you just give us some of your tips on, you know, being more confident with women?
Yeah. I mean, a little formula that you could write down and keep is that confidence comes from competence. And to get competent in an area, you first need to have taken action and practice in that area. A lot of guys I always hear saying, oh, yeah, I've done this, I've done that. I've read this book, I've read that book. Okay, well, you might have read all these books, but have you actually gone out and practiced these things? You know, a guy could read every book on martial arts under the sun, but if he went into a fight, he's going to get his ass kicked if he hasn't practiced. You know, so it's about practicing, and that gets you competent. And before you can practice, you first need to make sure you've got the right information, the right coach, and the right content and courses that you're reading up on. Because if you haven't got that foundation, then you're never going to reach each level in this equation to reach confidence. So really, it's about getting competent. If you think back to something that you're good at right now, guys at home, you'll see that you're confident in that area because you're actually competent. You've practiced and you've earned your skill. And that's really where confidence comes from. So what if you haven't got that confidence then just yet? Well, you can fake it until you make it. That's one option. Because what you do constantly on the outer side, so in your outer world, some of that filters through into your inner world, which is why affirmations are so powerful. Do you know about affirmations, Scott?
Yeah, I think we know a little bit about it, but maybe you could kind of just go into more detail.
Yeah, so an affirmation is just a simple language pattern. Again, it comes from NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So one for confidence could be, you could wake up each morning and have it on your wall. I'm a confident guy. Women like me. I'm confident around women. You could write something like that down. And the more you read that, so if you were to read that 3 to 5 times a day, that will filter through. And combine that with taking action, practicing, having the right theory and knowledge there, then all these things are going to filter through, and it's going to affect your confidence levels massively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I know affirmations can be pretty powerful. I've talked to people that have had a lot of success with affirmations, and I know that they're, you know, that it can be a really, really good technique, a really good, you know, thing to do if you want to kind of build these things into your existence, really, is what you're doing, is you're hammering them down. And, you know, I personally kind of faked it until I made it, so I know that can work.
I've got one of the little on that as well, another little technique you can use.
Yeah.
And what I always used to do was say, in any situation, especially when it was came to talking to a woman, I would say, what is the absolute worst thing that can happen in this situation? So this is if I was feeling anxiety or nervousness. I'd say, what is the absolute worst thing that could happen? And when I looked at it, I realized, well, actually, the worst thing is her probably saying, get lost, you jerk. Something like that. Or for me, one time, I had a drink thrown in my face. But that was the absolute worst of thousands of times of talking to women. So once you look at that and you realize that actually there is no danger there, and then you look at what's the best thing that could happen. So she could end up being your girlfriend. And, you know, all the things that come with that, all the benefits. So when you look at that, the anxiety just really subsides. I'm not going to say, I mean, let's be honest, I'm not going to say it completely disappears, but it certainly helps and it subsides that anxiety so you can go through into what you need to do.
Mm-hmm. Let's move into online dating a little bit, because I know you've done a ton of online dating, and that's, you know, a lot of my audience is particularly interested in that subject. Before we hopped on to do the call, we did chat a little bit about different kind of subtleties between what works in the UK and what works in the US, the kind of things that British women, you know, will respond to as opposed to American women. You know, one thing that, you know, I had kind of mentioned is, you know, that I've seen that maybe cocky and funny there doesn't work as well as it does in the States. And cocky and funny, just everybody knows, is kind of a aloof attitude where you're kind of busting a little bit the woman or just being, you know, a little bit over the top. So you got kind of a cocky attitude, you're being a little bit over the top. Kind of like Vince Vaughn in Swingers, if anyone's seen that movie, but maybe not, you know, quite as crazy as he is necessarily, because I don't know how far that will get you. But anyways, when you kind of take that style or that attitude online, I've found that it doesn't work as well with women in the UK. Have you seen that, you know, that at all with women online or offline in England and the UK in general?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, in the UK on the online dating profiles, if you use cocky and funny on the women, which I certainly do, all the time those women will really react to that sort of stuff. I can't exactly put my finger on it and pinpoint why, but I just think we have a different kind of humor here. And the women are very sort of defensive. And mm-hmm. I mean, when I've been in the States, I've laughed, made a couple of jokes with the women. They've just loved it, you know? They've mm-hmm. really enjoyed that. But over here, a lot of the time, they seem to get offended. Like, British women get offended real easy. I mean, I'm not sure exactly why that is. Maybe it's something to do with our comedy. Your comedy is a lot more relaxed, whereas ours is quite dry. Have you ever noticed our comedy is quite dry?
Yeah, it's extremely, extremely dry to me. You know, I never quite kind of get the comedy and, you know, y'all's comedy. And One of the other things that I want to bring up, and it's along the lines of humor as well, is the self-deprecation that you guys do in online dating profiles. It's always, that's the kind of thing in the U.S. we would tell someone, never do this in your online dating profile. But for whatever reason, I think it actually can work in the U.K. Is that right? And first of all, tell us what self-deprecating humor is.
Yeah, so self-deprecating humor is something that we do in the UK. I've not seen this in a lot of other places. Our comedy tends to be a lot different from the US, that's for sure. And what we do is we sort of make jokes about ourselves. And we do that in a way to sort of build rapport with other people. It's like a relaxing thing. It's just to show that we're not too up ourselves, if that makes sense. We're not too egotistical. That's the whole idea of that. It's just to say, I don't think I'm better than you. You know, I'm an approachable person and I can laugh at myself. And actually, you can relate this to building attraction as well, because when a woman sees a guy who's trying to tell her how great he is, in the UK, the women don't like that at all. They really dislike a guy that's telling people how great he is. But if she was to land on a profile and the guy's making a joke about himself, then there, straight away, she says, okay, this guy doesn't take himself too seriously, and I'm interested to hear what he's got to say. And again, if you can make her laugh, which self-deprecating humor is one of our points of humor over here, if you can make her laugh with that, straight away, you've started to build attraction there.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, because I actually try to, when we get clients in the UK, I try to get our writers to work in self-deprecating humor, but it's never funny. I think that's an art that we have to work on ourselves, and maybe I'm going to have to start using the UK's top dating coach for some expert opinion on our attempts at self-deprecating humor online. Yeah. So you've got a ton of experience on Plenty of Fish in particular, and I know you've used other online dating sites, but why don't we talk about some of the common mistakes that you've seen on dating sites like these that a lot of guys are making online that you think are really hurting their results?
Okay, yeah. I mean, specifically Plenty of Fish. But, of course, these relate to everything. So one of the biggest problems, I think, is not having a good quality photo. And I don't think you can get a bigger problem than that. So the statistics, which came from Match.com, I think, stated that you're 7 times likely to get a reply or a message if you have a good photo online, whereas if you don't have a photo. And we can actually filter deeper within this statistic, because from the studies and the results that I saw from my different profiles, when I was testing different pictures, I was noticing massive differences from different types of my main profile picture. And the main thing that I came up with, so the perfect picture I came up with, was if you were to Google after this Brad Pitt, you'll see some of his pictures that come up, and they'll come up as a profile, what's known as a profile picture, not just online, but that's the actual name of the picture, a profile picture. And it's sort of the chest area up to just above the head and a couple of inches to the left and right of each shoulder. And when you have a picture like that, it's the best picture you can get, and it sort of make it a relaxed setting. So either sort of you want to be dressed smart, casual, make sure your hair's not really scruffy and you're not having a bad hair day or whatever. And for a profile picture, something like that is the best picture you can have. And make sure you're smiling in it. That is key. And then these weird pictures, like the convict, the lineup pictures. Do you have that in the US? Like, do you call them convicts?
No, we don't call them that, but I know you're talking about.
Yeah, in the prison. Yeah, you don't want to have anything like that. The other mistake is a lot of guys I'm talking to saying, Neil, I'm still not getting any replies to my profile. And I'm like, really? I can't understand it. Let me log in. I'll log in. And he hasn't sent any messages out. So I'll get on the phone. Hey, I just checked your profile. It says you haven't sent any messages out. Yeah? And? What do you expect? If you're not sending any messages out, what do you expect is going to happen? And the amount of guys that say, well, I thought with your system, the women just come to me. Say, no, guys, that isn't how it works online. Women don't just come to you if you're on the UK or the US dating sites. It doesn't work like that. You've really got to do the groundwork, you know? You can't just put up a profile and expect to get dozens of emails a day. Yeah, if you're a woman, that's exactly what happens, but not as a guy. Another mistake is giving up too soon. You know, that this really makes me laugh, because this is a common thing where guys just quit after, I don't know, a few weeks. And they go, nah, that's it. I tried it. Honestly, Neil, or honestly, Scott, I tried it. How long for? Oh, good few weeks. Yeah, 3 or 4 weeks. No, and that's, you really need to put in a lot of time and effort into this. If you haven't got a system and you're just doing whatever you're doing, then you're never going to get anywhere. If you've got a system, then within a few weeks, you're going to have loads of emails. But the main thing is just not quitting, not giving up. And it's common throughout life. People try something for a couple of weeks. It's not working, and that's it. They give up. They just quit. And the key is just not to quit. It's just take consistent action all the time until you reach your goal. And that's the best little bit of advice I can give on that. Another big one, especially here in the UK, is being too cocky. Being too cocky just does not work here. There's such a fine line between confidence and arrogance and sort of cockiness, and it often comes across wrong. But really, the only way you can find out when it's coming across wrong is just to try it. You won't know you've crossed the line until you actually try this out and cross it. So that's another big one. Do you talk a lot about topless photos, Scott?
Yeah. You know, we mentioned it here and there, but, you know, you can tell us why they're so bad if you want.
Oh, man. Yeah. I like to do a lot of surveys, so there isn't a week that goes by that I'm not doing surveys with guys and women and online and stuff. And when I did my survey of women's pets hate, it was called the Pet Hate Survey for online dating. And the thing that topped the list above everything was these pictures of guys where you know, the worst one is a camera phone, but, you know, just a normal camera. And you stand in the bathroom mirror with your top off, and you're trying to flex your muscles and, like, come on, there's more muscle to come out of here yet. And then you take a picture of that, and, oh, man, that is the worst possible picture. Because not only is it just a bad picture, it comes across so needy. It really does. And it started off with guys that were really muscular, like the model type guys doing it. And it's just filtered down to even the guys who, you know, are carrying a few pounds, taking their shirt off now and taking pictures. And I'm just looking at it and thinking, what the hell is this guy smoking? So that's another big one. Guys, even if you are ripped and you take every supplement in the world and you hit the gym 5 times a day, don't take your shirt off. I mean, if you want to show that you're in good shape, then wear a nice fitted t-shirt or something like that, polo shirt, t-shirt, and the women will be able to see that. They can just see that you've got a good physique and take care of yourself. You don't need to take your shirt off. It just devalues you.
Yeah, I agree completely. One of the things that you talked about, you know, that I saw you mentioned in your system is really, you know, something you don't hear so often from other coaches, and you talked about, you ran through different headlines and things and gave examples, and then you had one point where you talked about split testing different headlines, which is a kind of a direct marketer's technique for kind of testing different things. But can you tell us, you know, exactly what that means by split testing headlines? And I don't know if you remember, you know, which ones worked better or whatever, but can you tell us, you know, if it was effective in finding out, you know, what worked best for you?
Yeah. What I did, I was reading online about marketers and how they use different headlines to create more results in people and to have people react in different ways. So a lot of the time, if you pick up a newspaper article and you're just reading through, and, you know, the stories are pretty boring, but then all of a sudden something catches your eye. You see it and you're like, wow, that looks interesting. And then you start reading, and before you know it, you've read, you know, a quarter of the article, and you realize that you're reading about some random rubbish that you're just not interested in. And that happens to me occasionally, and I just laugh and have to, you know, slap myself on the head and say, I was caught out again. And you can actually use this in your online dating profile. So I'd come out with some jokey ones. So my main thing was using jokes. So I remember I wrote down, I once raced a 3-legged dog and won. So that was one of my headlines, and that was a really effective one, because women would always read that, and if they were sort of, you know, the sort of women that I was after, the Fern kind of women, they'd read that and they'd laugh, and they'd instantly send me a message saying, I just read your headline, is that true? Did you really race a three-legged dog? But what I'd do is I'd have different profiles on Plenty of Fish, so I'd have about two or three on there. I'd have profiles on Match, OkCupid. There's so many different sites. I would change the headline. So I'd have exactly the same profile and then just change the headline on each profile and see what results. So I'd be sending out the same messages, just changing my headline. And the results were just astounding. And I noticed patterns emerging as well. So the type of women that would message me. So if I wanted a really fun, like crazy kind of girl, then I'd use a headline like that. Something jokey, like I once raced a three-legged dog and won. Something like that as a joke. But if I was looking for a more sort of confident woman, I'd use something like a direct headline, like looking for a challenge, ? And more confident women would see that and they'd be like, ah, here we go, what's this? I saw the word challenge. So really you've got to think about this kind of woman that you want to meet, and then you want to use your headline. You want to target a headline that you know is going to sort of react to that woman. So the whole point of the headline is to get them to click through to your profile. And that's the only point of the headline. That's it. So don't try and make it really snazzy and clever and all of that. What you want to do is just make it enough so that she clicks through. And it's the same with everything, your profile on online dating. The point isn't to try and impress her and, you know, all these other things that guys think it is. Each part of your profile has a goal. So the goal is to get her to take interest and click through. The goal of your profile is to get her to get interested in you. And at the end of your profile, always have a call to action. So a call to action like, enough reading, send me a message, ! Or, you know, however you want to word it, it's different for different women that you're targeting. So that's it. That every tiny piece of the profile has an objective and a goal.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really good advice. And why don't we, you know, we'll move past online dating in just a minute, but why don't we just talk real quick about your main messaging tips without giving everything away. You know, what are some of your best tips on for sending the first message or asking for the date, you know, taking things offline and either to the phone or to the date?
Okay, first message then. I don't usually ever ask for a phone number on the first message. It's not something I do. I know some of the guys do it, but I've tried it, I've tested it, and it isn't as effective as what I do now. So what I'll always do is send a first message, and it will look something like this, saying, hey, whatever her name is, I just checked out and wanted to find out more about you. And straight away when she reads that, for women, that's you know, that's a good thing, because she'll say, okay, so he's actually file, so there's one tick, and he wants to find out more about me. Okay, that's the sort of guy that I'm looking for, someone that's interested in me. Next, I'll give her a nice little compliment. Nothing about her looks, that's a big one. Never say anything about her looks. So just give her a nice little compliment, like, you know, how maybe she's really honest in her profile. Like we're talking about self-deprecating humor. Maybe she did something like that and she was really honest. So I'd say, like, I like how honest you were about XYZ comment. And another thing, I like throwing a little joke once with her cat in her profile. She's stroking her cat. That was just gold. Because I, you know, I made a joke about her cat, saying, you know, does your cat come on dates with you as well? And do I have to take on the cat? You know, it's really, you just make something funny, make a big joke there. And always sort of throw in a challenge for her as well. So you don't want to make it too easy. So a nice challenging question I always use is either if you won the lotto today and we split the ticket, what would we spend the money on, or something like that? Or if you could go anywhere in the world, but you only had an hour before you had to come back, where would you go? You know, it's just to get her thinking. And what that question is as well is deeply embedded with NLP. So it's getting her to really visualize and get creative. And when women visualize like that, because they're very emotional creatures, they link that those good feelings to you. So there's a key thing that I've not seen in any other people's programs or courses either. And then just sort of say a little bit about myself and keep it really simple. You want to come across quite mysterious. You want to come, as I said before, you don't want to come across too cocky or up yourself, like you're the best thing going. So you just want to say a couple of things like I'm fun and funny and confident. Just, you know, say you take good care of yourself and you're fit and healthy. And maybe something about your job, but I just tend to say I know where I'm going in life. Again, like I was saying about the call to action, just use a really strong call to action at the end. What did I say for that one with the cat? I think I said something like, P.S., your cat looks lonely. Maybe we could set him up with a catdate.com or something like that. And just throw a call to action on it. You know, like get back, you know, just something to get her replying to you. That's really what I'll send in a first message. And in the second message, once she's replied, I'll throw something else, maybe a little joke or a little bit of humour. But really, the first message has done its objective, which is to get her replying to you. So yeah, that's the objective of the first message. And the second message, really, for me, the objective is either to A, build more rapport, or B, to get her phone number. So the major objective for me is to build rapport. The secondary objective is phone number. So I'll always ask for the phone number in the second message. And if she doesn't want to give it in the second message, don't freak out, guys. It's not a big deal. Like, don't freak out about that. It just means you haven't built up enough rapport yet. So everybody you speak to is potential, like dating potential. Don't think anyone is out of your league or anything like that. Everyone is a potential date. You've just got to build up the right rapport and hit on the right switches.
Mm-hmm. No, I think that's good advice there. Why don't we talk a little just quickly about, you know, once she's actually given her phone number, you know, when a girl sends you a phone number from online, do you usually send her a text or do you pick up the phone and call?
Yeah, I always call. And the reason I call is because it's just a lot more personal than a text. So I'd always send a text first just to say, hey, it's Neil, make a little joke, add a bit of humour to it. And then I'd say, I'm going to give you a call at, and I'll put a time on there. And that's it. I'd say, is it okay if I call you at this time or anything like that? I'll just say, I'm going to give you a call at this time. Or be ready, you know, something like that. And then I'll call because here's the thing. It's good to text because it's a lot more low energy and it isn't as worrying for her. But if she's serious about meeting up, which is what you want, then you want to really get her on the phone and start talking to her because then it adds a more personal element to it. You're not just sending a text back and forth to a person you can't see. It's like you're actually on the phone and you're getting connected with that person. And this is how attraction is really built. It's built over the phone. You can't really build attraction as well over a text message. I mean, you can do it, but it takes so long. Over the phone, you can literally do it in one conversation. Like, that's how easy it is. But, I mean, I know that for a lot of guys, it's a really nerve-wracking thing calling up a woman. It used to be the same for me. I didn't like to call women at all. I'd be so nervous about it, and I'd have to build up my confidence for a long time before I did it. So I can totally relate. But, I mean, in the long run, it's best to just call. It really is.
Yeah, I agree with that completely. I mean, you know, when you're doing text online and then you move to text on the phone, you really don't build that next level of rapport, which is, you know, and comfort by, you know, having a real dialogue, you know, live and on the phone. I think it does a lot in way of kind of making her feel more comfortable in terms of to meet you in person. But, you know, nervousness is obviously a huge factor for guys, you know. So it does make first phone calls kind of tough for some people when they're sweating and they can't, you know, they're concentrating on what they're going to say next and they feel like they're just going to fail on the call. So, but it's something I think over time, with online dating, it's a great venue for learning how to get better on the first phone call because if you get good at it, you can get a lot of numbers and get a lot of practice. Why don't we talk with one more quick thing and then we'll start wrapping this up. Why don't we talk just about first date? You know, I know you teach a lot about body language, but why don't you give us just a few of your best tips for the first date in terms of making a good impression and, you know, obviously making her want to see you again.
Okay. So before we talk about the first date, we need to talk about the planning of the first date, which is key. And what you want to do is, you've got a massive advantage here, guys, because you've already seen her profile. So you can get a really good idea of what she likes to do and her personality. So you want to really tailor that first date to her personality. And a big mistake that most guys make is to assume that women prefer a date at night. This is a mistake. Women don't prefer a date at night. They much prefer a date during the daytime. And, I mean, we're using the word date here. I don't even use the word date. I don't even call it a date. What I used to do was invite women out. I'd say, you know, let's go and grab a coffee, or let's go and grab a drink in the park, something like that, because it's just so low energy and there's no big risk there for her. You know, you're going to a public place, it's like you're going to pick her up in your car and or take her around to your house or anything like that. It's just so risk-free. And if it doesn't work out, then you just walk away. Both of you can walk away. It's just so simple. So you want to try and plan something that's tailored to her. So I always do something like that on the first time I meet her. Like, for sure, I just grab a coffee or something like that. The good thing about that is, and I got this from one of the girls that works for me, is that she said what she always loved to do was, if she was enjoying the date with the guy, she would turn it into an evening thing. And that was just key. That was a big bravery for me, because I used to just go straight for the evening. Sometimes it would work, and other times I didn't like the girl or whatever. But when I started doing the afternoon type stuff, going for a coffee or meeting for a drink, if it was going well, then we just keep it going all day, and then you've got a higher chance of a good result. That if you're after something that night, guys, wink wink, then you've just got such a much better chance of going back to her place or her going to your place, whatever it is that your intention is for that woman.
Mm-hmm. I think that's great advice. You know, first of all, I know that the guys listening to this are going to want to know more about your book on online dating. You gave us kind of just some basic sneak peeks into it, but I know there's a lot more behind it because I've seen it myself. So why don't you tell us where to find that, and also, you know, some of the guys that may be interested in kind of dating coaching and reading some more of your information online, where they can all find your stuff.
Yeah, sure. I mean, my main website is www.topdatingcoach.com, or you can just Google that, Top Dating Coach, and my stuff will come up straight away. And on there, we deliver a lot of services, from the one-on-one coaching, and you can actually take one-on-one coaching with me personally or over Skype. We do seminars and weekend training events, which is the main thing that most guys want, the weekend training events. And as I was saying, we do it in America as well now, as well as the UK and Asia. We do events in Asia. Also got products. So we've got the online dating mastery course. You just head over to the website and you'll see that on the website. It's pretty obvious there under the products. And yeah, and we've also got loads of free advice on there. So go and check that out. We've got a YouTube channel. There's loads of videos on there with just top advice, loads of articles. So, guys, just have a look. And if you like the advice, then use it.
Cool. And how do they find that YouTube channel, Neil?
Oh, yeah. All my stuff's the same. It's Top Dating Coach. So just go onto YouTube and /Top Dating Coach, and you'll find that YouTube channel. I mean, that's gold. That's the thing that most guys like the best, actually, is the YouTube channel.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, guys, from the Top Dating Coach in the UK. He's obviously got a ton of experience with online dating and just dating coaching in general, with everything from his NLP techniques to his body language techniques and just a lot of great stuff on online dating and confidence. And, you know, Neil, this has really been an awesome interview for today, and I really appreciate you taking the time to join us.
Yeah, you're welcome, Scott. You're most welcome.